Hi, this is Dr. E.
And this is Dr. Dre.
Welcome to our podcast,
Mixtape Hope. Can you imagine not just knowing what you wanted to be when you grow up, but living it at the age of 9? Like many musicians and artists, life and talent mature together, often chaotically.
Father, entrepreneur, musician, and so much more. He has brought a unique style of anyone-can-play mentality to the New Orleans music scene with School of Rock. You can also find him with the New Orleans Suspects, doing what he does best on the keys. Sit down, turn up the volume, and get lost in the chords and chaos with C.R. Groover as we hear how music became his life and career. So welcome to Mixtape Hope. Here we are with C.R. Groover from School of Rock here in New Orleans.
And
thanks
so
for coming
more.
On. And a lot more,
and
which
so
we're hoping
more.
To unpack and find out. I can't wait.
Yeah, you're like a musical onion. Like the more we thought we knew about CR, and then we just keep reading and listening and learning, and you have, wow, so many layers. So I'm going to, like many of our guests that we're completely overwhelmed with in a good way, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and say all the many hats, literally, that you wear.
Woo, that's a lot of hats. So I'm C.R. Groover. I've been here in the New Orleans area, in New Orleans, for over 15 years now. Came from Colorado, but I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania suburbs. So I've been around the country a lot. I've been a musician since I was about 9 years old. Started taking piano lessons, then classical training, and moved into rock and roll and funk, and started touring in bands when I was about 24, I guess. Although my first band started when I was about 13 years old. So I've been playing music my whole life.
Wow.
And so of the layers of the onion, they go deep down all the way my ninth year of life, which is a long, long time ago.
Wow.
So that's the short of it.
And still he's being humble. So right now, if someone were to say, hey, where could I go and watch this musician perform? I know there are some dates. What else are you a bigger part of here in New Orleans?
So since the pandemic, it's been very sparse, which is why School of Rock has been such a boon for me to be able to focus on the school.
Sure.
Primarily. But I am in a band called the New Orleans Suspects. That's my full-time band. We're a national touring act that started touring back in 2011. So we're on our 11th year as a touring band. And I do solo gigs a lot. I do brunches and solo piano performances. My fiance, Micah Monroe, and I, she's actually a Colorado resident at the moment, but her and I have a duo. I just got back from Colorado actually this past week. Had a bunch of shows that she had booked out there.
Wow.
I spent a lot of time between Colorado and here playing shows. This week actually is a monumental week because I have 5 gigs in the next 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Saturday coming up, yeah?
Yeah, two on Saturday. I've got Wednesday, Thursday, and then 2 Saturday and 1 Sunday. So it's a good week. I'm starting this new solo project and like the ideas of the old like Paul Oakenfold and Tiesto DJs. Like looping type stuff, but I'm doing it in a different form, and I'm bringing in Southern Louisiana, Cajun, Mardi Gras, Indian beats, and some other organic type drums and instruments, and then adding melodies and kind of mixing things in a big mishmash. I discovered a long time ago, in order to be successful in music, you have to never stop growing. You have to make yourself a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you can offer bands, you know, I'm a vocalist and I'm a piano player and I play New Orleans style piano. I do funk music and I do blues. You know, it's the more you do, the more you can expand yourself and the more you can offer to other musicians, you know, the easier it is to really kind of make a living playing music.
So what brought you here 15 years ago? Like, how did you decide to start growing some roots in New Orleans?
A girl. Not the first time New Orleans women have brought people into the city. I met a woman out in Colorado when I was living there. She had just graduated from graduate school in Fort Collins. And her and I started dating, and then we got engaged, and Katrina hit. And she wanted to be closer to her family, who she's about a 10 or 12 generation New Orleans resident.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved here together in 2006, so a year after the hurricane, and got married in 07, and I've been here ever since. So,
wow,
she's what brought me here. You know, and we're thinking about moving a bunch of different places, and then when the hurricane hit, and she wanted to come to New Orleans as a piano player, there couldn't be a better place, I don't think, in the world to live than New Orleans.
So my goodness.
I was excited for the opportunity.
Well, we are grateful. We are grateful. And you know, touching on what you just said earlier about continuing to grow and explore and learn. So you're always putting yourself in a position where it sounds like you're always putting yourself in a position where you're literally throwing yourself on stage to see kind of what organically comes together, even with new like venues and new art
forms,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you talk to any musician who has been able to really like forge a path in music, they all have that kind of spirit. Mm-hmm. It's, if you stop growing, then you literally are moving backwards. I think in any discipline, but music, and for me, it just seems like I need to always be pushing myself into unfamiliar territory.
That's cool. It's a cool place to be.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the whole purpose of Dre thinking of this podcast as far as music. We know how healing it's been in our lives. And the School of Rock was very instrumental through a crazy period of transition for us professionally, academically, and in society here. It was crazy times, but you know, having those dedicated times to go in there and practice, and the camaraderie that was built and culminated in that show that we did at Carrollton Station is something that we look back on and we keep trying to just live again, right? And continue to grow.
Yes.
So on those lines, how did School of Rock, like how did that idea come and bring in that franchise here to Metairie?
That actually started, I have two daughters myself, and they're about to be 11 and 7, which is hard for me to believe. But at the time, my oldest daughter had just turned 5, and she had been in daycare, you know, pre-K stuff, which always, she would always go to school or daycare over the summer. So I had my daytimes during the summertime free to work. But this particular summer, it'd be the first summer that she was actually somewhere else. I was going to be a stay-at-home dad. So I thought, I'd like to find some camps, some music camps to put her in, because she was showing some interest in music. Mm-hmm. And there are a few music camps here in New Orleans. There's a bunch of jazz camps. There's one all-female rock and roll camp. But in my search for where could I put her musically, Music Garden is another really good one too here in town. I discovered School of Rock as a brick and mortar thing, which I had no idea existed. I thought it was just the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked into what it was, there was none around here. The closest ones here, or two here at that point, were Atlanta, Memphis, and Houston. So
goodness.
Pretty far, no less than 5 hours or 7 or 8 hours away, mm-hmm. which I was really surprised about, because this region is so powerful musically,
sure,
and culturally. And then the more I read about the concept of this performance-based instruction, which kind of marries one-on-one instruction with the ability to practice with the band and then perform at live venues, I fell in love with it, because that's exactly the kind of thing I had to create myself when I was 12 and 13 years old. I had to make my own band, and then we had to find our own gigs. And it was difficult, and it was almost impossible, actually, to have that experience. So I thought, if there's a way I could bring this experience to people in this region, it would be great. And so I was fortunate enough to have a good friend of mine named Tom Piercy. He's actually out in Colorado as well, who is a very successful businessman and had the wherewithal to be able to help invest in the concept. And so we put together this business plan. And we did all the different steps you have to take for the franchise. And we were able to actually put one in Metairie, where we have our school now, as close to the New Orleans border as possible. And it really has been, for me, the most rewarding thing I've been able to be a part of as well. You know, I've been playing music my whole life, and I've been touring, I've been on the road. I've had a lot experiences. But those almost entirely, except for the joy that we bring people in the audience, those experiences stop at yourself. You know, it's right. I got a lot from it.
Yeah.
But being able to take all this knowledge and all this touring experience and all this musical training I've had and give it back to other kids and students has been, including the adult students we've had, which it's just been incredible for me to be able to really to set up this platform for people to grow. You know, it's really been mind-blowing.
And when did the doors open, and what has been the response as far as how much it's taken off? Did you think, were you surprised either way how it's just kind of taken hold?
I mean, to be honest, we were a little nervous that rock and roll wasn't relevant, especially with younger. I mean, with our age, you know, like that's what we grew up with. So of course,
yeah,
we'd love to play rock and roll. But for kids that are, you know, 9 to 16 years old, I didn't know if they would have really cared about rock and roll or wanted to play it. So that was our biggest worry, even though School of Rock is actually very, it's growing. Yeah. It's a very successful company. They're expanding worldwide now. So we had that knowledge and the business model itself was strong, but I just didn't know if it would really have legs in this era. It turns out it does.
It does.
And the music itself, it's such a broad genre of rock and roll, everything from, you know, punk all the way through to progressive rock. There's so many things you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretical concepts and musical ideas and everything else. We opened our doors in 2018, so it was June of 2018. We had a soft opening where we had a couple camps just to kind of get our feet wet. And then the grand opening was in July, I think it was July 15th, 2018.
Wow.
Where we actually had the big celebration just in time for 2018 full school enrollment period.
See.
And
we're grateful.
It took a little while.
Dre, I don't know, Sierra, if you know the story.
Yeah, yes.
Dre, you should tell him how this all started off as far as the adult component with Gabriel.
Yes. So he's gotten over the traumatic part of how we landed in School of Rock. Because, yes, our little one, School of Rock opened up right down the street from his taekwondo place. And we would pass and I was like, oh, my goodness, there's a music place coming. I think we even like went in one random Saturday and it wasn't even open yet. So we were waiting. And so when it opened, Gabriel joined and he was, you know, I like the flow in that you all don't just say, OK, what instrument do you want to play to the kids? It's like, come on in and they go cycle through everything. And it's very small, very cool, intimate settings, and they get to really it's not so hardcore theory. It's they get to explore what they want to explore, and then they learn almost kind of backwards. Anyway, long story short, I'm sitting there in the very cool waiting room, which has an amazing array of literature to read.
Great books,
as well.
It's really posters from concerts
really
past.
Cool. I mean, it's just a really cool vibe there. And so as I'm sitting there, we were going to through probably maybe the second most traumatic life shift personally, professionally, and trying to buy a practice. Our nanny had just left, just all this turmoil in our personal life. So what did I do? I decided, you know, I used to play the violin. It's got 4 strings. Why don't I just transition to the bass? Let's do this. So it turned into, I want to play bass guitar and take lessons. And Luis, there's an adult band and you play guitar. So we're going to join the band. And I think there's a performance in like 6 months. So I came home and told him that, CR, and he was like, do you realize what is on our plate right now? And I said, yeah, that we need to push off some of that stressful stuff and learn and grow and be vulnerable. And so you actually gave us also the gift of being able to stand at the back door and our children saying, I need this, I need that, and where am I need to be brought here. And we put on our instruments and we open the door and we step outside and say, I don't care what y'all are doing right now. We're going to band practice. And that to me was like, I just felt like the coolest parent in the instant. And I see, you know, speaking of the parent, and fast forward, we are doing a performance with an amazing lead, I guess, producer, ensemble instructor in Matt, who kept us kind of corralled for those training sessions. But it was I can't even put it into words, the gift of what School of Rock gave us. It just kind of launched us into, wait, we can do this, right? Yeah.
And it's fun and it heals.
So fun. Yeah. It's so healing. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that experience.
Oh, it was fantastic. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned and touched on is so Jessica, who's the face of the front desk, and one Saturday afternoon, you had come through and there were these, maybe it was one or two sweet little ladies, little girls sitting in the waiting room, and they were just cool as can be. And I realized, she was like, oh, that's CR's little one. And I'm like, that is so cool. And the loving, when you came from the back, just the loving atmosphere and how you interacted with her. I just think it exudes your, you know, combined passion of where you are in life and what you have and what you love and what you do. And it's the ultimate bring your baby to work kind of scenario, which is really cool. Really, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
They picked up any instruments?
Yeah. So my older daughter started with piano. She was going through the Music Garden program, which, like I mentioned before, is a great, great program in town. And then she moved from that to a private instructor on the violin, who's Clyde Thomas is his name. He's a Cajun violin player and more, but he's been teaching her violin and she's got a real knack for it. My young daughter Cadence is more, but not really any kind of formal training. She's taken some piano lessons, but she also has a real good ear for it. She likes to walk around the house singing songs and beatboxing. So you might have a little family band brewing.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. So do you still get scared going on stage? Like, is there still that, like, are you just cool?
You know, it's not so much fear as excitement. And I think a lot of, it takes a while to identify the difference. And I think for a lot of kids, for a lot of musicians in general, the nervousness is misinterpreted as nervousness. I think a lot of times it's excitement, but they're not used to that adrenaline. They're not used to that feeling going on stage. And I think once you get used to it, that feeling, and of course for me, it's been decades, but really it's that excitement. It kind of helps focus me and it kind of helps calm me down. It's the best feeling in the world to get on stage for me. I'm probably more comfortable on stage than anywhere else in my life. I love it. Of course, as a piano player, I sit behind keyboards. So I'm not like completely exposed to everyone, like guitar players walking around on stage. But I really do enjoy being on stage. For me, it's almost my church. You know, it's where I feel connected. Not just to the other people in the audience, but also to something which I think is deeper than me. Mm. It's
no doubt.
Yeah, it's very centering.
I like that. Centering. Awesome.
And amazing. I think, you know, what you're saying about how being a student's there with all this chaos swirling around your personal lives and your children and work and home and everything, and music kind of helped the two of you as well, as crazy as it seemed to take that on. I think that's the power of music, right? I think that's really what it helps to do with people. I'm the same way. You know, I've got all these things. I've got this business opening a second School of Rock on the North Shore. I've got another business out in Colorado that I deal with. So I'm constantly running. But when I get a chance to just sit down and play for a couple hours, it's everything else just goes away for a second. And it's okay. nothing happens.
That's right.
So I love that you had that experience, because it is, to me, the most powerful part of the music.
It was powerful. And I learned, I mean, we've been married 18 years and I learned so much more about him. I had no idea he had such a beautiful voice on stage. And I definitely didn't realize he was so confident and comfortable being front and center, because I was way in the back hiding somewhere behind Kevin. and that's the other thing, is we made incredible friendships that continue to grow and continue to last. And it's a really cool behind the curtain look that you can actually be a part of that play. Mm-hmm.
And it's a positive hobby type experience, right? Something that you can continue to grow, always be challenged. I mean, yeah. I try not to get disappointed when you hear, you know, how good you want to be, and you just kind of focus on, okay, what can I do? And what are the little goals and the little wins that you can have every time you pick up the guitar or try? So
yeah.
I think you'll see, even regardless of the skill level or experience of a musician, they always are their harshest critics. So there's always somewhere they'd rather be farther along in their progress. Regardless, you know what I mean? Like, you could be a beginner and feel that, or you could be someone like myself who's been doing it for more years than I care to count. And there's always something just outside of reach, right? That you're always trying to get to. So,
yeah. Being in a touring band, being with all the music here, how did the coronavirus pandemic affect y'all? I know you had a show over at the Funky Uncle for the school. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was the vibe like among the musician community with the friends and connections that you have?
It was devastating. It was, I don't think you could ever really wrap your mind around that. Like, there's always in the back of my mind, and I'm sure I speak for most musicians, if the world was to come to an end and electricity went down and everything just hit the fan, you could always go and perform music with your friends or with families, or maybe be a wandering minstrel and bring music to, you know, groups of people. And the pandemic took that away because you couldn't be with people. It was bizarre and terrifying. And suddenly even musicians who they could always fall back on their music, they couldn't do what they loved. So immediately it was hard to wrap our minds around. I speak for myself, but I'm sure for a lot of people. But then quickly, luckily with technology and innovation and just the creativity of the just musicians in general, and artists, I mean, everybody, business too, everyone kind of found a way to pivot. Mm-hmm. And how do we do what we do in the world? School of Rock pivoted immediately to remote learning. Musicians, myself included, pivoted immediately to Zoom and Facebook Live performances. Mm-hmm. And started, you know, electronic tip jars and Venmo and PayPal. And those things started taking a much bigger role in our lives. And we found a way to get by. There was a lot of really kind organizations out there and people. The Jazz and Heritage Foundation helped, giving us some grants. So there was things available. But it's still difficult. I think it's coming back, but it hasn't gotten back to where it was before. I know as these new van promoters are nervous still, a lot of these big venues and small venues are having a hard time booking something and being able to afford to have live music because now you have to be vaccinated or you have to, you can't have the full capacity in your rooms or all these different things. So it's been a two-edged sword. I think one of the best things about it, besides having to kind of rethink the way we do things, you know, virtually, but a lot of the venues here in town that have sprouted up with outdoor concert areas, Zony Mash, the Broadside, there've been a handful of them that have really kind of redefined the live music scene in New Orleans in a good way. There's never really a whole lot of places to play outside in New Orleans like what we have now. And so that's actually been a positive.
Any personal favorite venues that you like to perform or take in a show here in town?
Zony Mash, actually, we just did the School of Rock event there in November, and they have an awesome spot outside. It's right off of Broad. And they have it's a brewery, Zony Mash Brewing Company. So they have an indoor stage that they're just now getting together, but they have a whole outdoor facility, which sprouted up specifically because of the pandemic. Zony Mash. Okay. Faubourg Brewery, another brewing company that has an outdoor space that they've been having very successful live shows. Mm-hmm. The Broadside, which is part of the movie theater right there on Broad. You know, so it's those are the three that we've been I've been most inspired by.
We'll have to we've been to the Broadside.
Check out the other ones.
Jared Zeller and Bayou Boogaloo, you know, we're good friends. And when he came back with the mini festival, you know, that was like the first mini fest in the city. So it was cool checking out that venue. It's very nice.
Yeah. And the weather is definitely cooperating lately. So that's good. It's all big thing in New Orleans. So this is home now. So you are, it sounds like you're back and forth to Denver, but for the most part, this is, I mean, you're a true New Orleanian now. How's that feel?
I loved it. The moment I had been here before, but the moment I moved here, I knew that I wasn't going anywhere.
So it's that nice. Makes us so happy.
And Dre actually, before we started, she pulled up a picture and we had a little question. So do you dabble in art, or do you know there's a picture of you going around for sale? For
like a painting.
A painting of you on the keys?
I have a few painter friends that have painted me over the years. So maybe it's one of those.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm going to mispronounce. It's like Boutique.
John Bucati.
Yeah, Bucati. Yeah, sorry. Bucati. Sorry, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Local artist?
John. We met in Colorado back in, I want to say 2002 or something. He was just getting started as an artist.
He's great.
And he would paint like Frenchie does. He would paint while bands were playing.
Yes.
And he has since just blown up and does a whole lot of other things as well artistically. But yeah, he's one of my close friends.
Yeah. No, he, yeah.
Do you happen to have one of his prints?
The print is beautiful of you. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's got the red beard and everything going.
Is it the one with all the keys across?
Yes. Yeah. We can't afford it for this studio, but we're I highly recommend it. It's beautiful.
That was from I played his gallery opening when he first opened a gallery here in New Orleans, and he painted me while I played.
That's really cool.
That was the result of that. Yeah.
That's really cool.
See, amazing artist.
It's all tied in.
It's all tied in.
Music,
yes.
Art,
is.
Some business, you know, and just growth.
And growth. It really is. It's mind body healing for sure. What comes out.
And
I love what the two of you are doing with this podcast as well. Like that's
thank you
for doing what you're doing.
That means so much. And we are so always so grateful for, you know, when you can sketch out some time, because we know you're very busy, which again, thank you for working around our crazy week last week and sitting down with us today. Because you literally are a musical onion. It's so awesome. It's so cool. And we're so grateful that you are part of our community now. And you are not done with us, because I need to get back in there for more bass lessons. And
we're not going anywhere. Can't wait. We loved having you. And, we can't wait to have you back.
That
was a very special show at Carlton Station that night.
Oh, it was so special. I mean, it literally brings tears to my eyes. My dad actually came out and saw, he hasn't seen me perform since I was in the school band in third grade, maybe. So many, many connections and reasons and moments and memories that you all, by extension, deliver to I'm going to put myself in and call us an artist. So.
Yeah. So.
I love it.
Well, CR, thank you again for being on Mixtape Hope.
Yes.
Good luck with all the ventures and with, I guess, the new School of Rock on the North Shore. That's great. When is that scheduled to open?
That we're still in the planning phases. We haven't even signed the franchise agreement yet, but we're hoping to get open by August 1st of next year, 2022.
Nice.
Good luck.
So, yeah, thank you.
So are you sitting at a keyboard right now?
I'm not.
You're not. Okay.
This is my kitchen counter.
Oh, okay.
Looks like you're ready to start jamming.
I know. We're going to have to go see him.
I just have that posture.
I like it. Awesome. Well, look, you have a wonderful day, beautiful day. And stay safe. And you'll probably see us in the crowds and the audience pretty soon.
And say hi to Jessica and all the family over there at school.
Absolutely. Take care.
Right,
absolutely. Bye bye.
Special thanks to our producer, John Girard.
And our coordinating manager, Olivia Olson.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram @MixtapeHopePodcast.